Turn in your Bible, 1 Samuel, chapter number 17, a very, very familiar scripture. 1 Samuel, chapter 17. Amen. Appreciate the songs by the congregation, the songs by the choir, and the song by Sister Helen. Amen. And I had intended on Melissa and I singing a song, but I will do that tonight. All right, and we'll get, because of the time, I want to give you what we can from the Word of God, and I don't want to overdo it. But I appreciate you being in the house of God. By the way, I say that, but the time does belong to the Lord. You know how long today is the Lord's day? All day. You say, well, I got plans. Yeah, but it's the Lord's day. It's his day. Right. Amen. All right. Anyway, I just a plug there. 1 Samuel chapter number 17 and verse number 10. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. I said 10. Verse 1. I'll read down through verse 10. And a familiar story about David and Goliath. And just a thought that God gave me this past week. And I felt like it would be good for us this morning. The Bible says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. Come in here on verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. I'll stop there with verse number 10. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Scott Pullman, would you lead us in prayer, please, brother? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. Look with me at verse number 29. There's a phrase in verse 29 that I'm actually going to use as my text, or my text verse for my title. Verse number 29, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And I want to preach on this thought this morning. Do you have a cause? Do you have a cause? Now, this is one of the most familiar stories in the Bible. I'm sure every one of us have heard this since Sunday school days, if you were blessed to be in Sunday school when you were a child. You've heard these stories. We've heard a lot of sermons on it. We've heard it used in storybook fashion. We've heard it used in sermon illustrations. And we've known this story probably inside and out for years and years and years. But I'd like to look at this text and deal with it practically in our own life, not just what David had a cause. Matter of fact, he's asking these men, and this was almost a rebuke to them. Do you not have a cause? Is there not a cause? It's as if he's saying, don't you see the problem? That's really what he's saying. I believe God wants us to have a cause. A purpose. Several years ago, a book was made famous about a purpose-driven life. I'm not a fan of the author. I never read the book. I've seen it on discount, but I didn't think it was worth the price. And so I've never bought it. But the point is true. We need a purpose in life. We need a purpose in life. And really, be honest with you, why would these kids that, I mean, they,
they're afraid to go out and ride a skateboard, afraid to skin their knee. But they're going to sign up to go on jihad. You know why? Because they need a purpose. They're longing for a reason to exist. They're longing for a purpose to be alive, a reason to get out of bed in the morning and do something. Now, they're mistaken when they go to the jihad route. You understand that? But they need a purpose in their life. David had a purpose. Amen. And I believe you and I need to have one, and that's what I'm going to be looking at in my text today. So I'm preaching on, do you have a cause? I'm going to get all my points from this chapter, and so we'll look at it. I've got five things and then a conclusion. Each of them start with a C. First of all, I want you to notice the call. In our text here, in verse number 17, there's the call to David to go towards this battlefield. The Bible said, and Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp of thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000 and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Amen. David did not volunteer for this battle. David was called into it by just simply obeying his father. Amen. By just doing what his father said for him to do. Again, notice David didn't say, I'm ready to go fight the giant. I'm ready to go fight the battle. No, David was doing what his father said, tending the sheep. Right? And then his father said, go take these cheeses and this bread, see how your brothers are doing and get their pledge from them. And so he's just obeying his father, helping his brethren, and just happened to be, if you can say it that way, happened to be at the right place at the right time. Here's what I believe. God calls people who are already doing the work of God to do the work of God. In other words, God calls, when I say God calls people to do that, He gives you a cause. C-A-U-S-E, cause and call, cause may sound the same. He calls you, C-A-L-L-S. Can you understand my English? All right. But He gives you a cause, cause, that's what, you know, but cause. I can't speak like Yankees, all right, cause. No slam. But anyway. But seriously, God calls you forth to do something for Him. But here's what I'm saying. He picks people who are already obeying their Father, already being a blessing to the brethren, already doing what they know they're supposed to be doing. They're just doing that. And then a giant may pop up and a big cause be right in front of them. And God calls people to Him in that order. So I'm thinking about David here and not, well, I say happened to be at the right place at the right time. Notice that on the battlefield that day, there were three groups of people. There were enlisted men. And I personally still believe men ought to be the ones enlist, not women. Amen. Women ought to enlist as helps, keepers at home, prayer warriors. Amen. Amen. You can do a lot more as a prayer warrior than as a soldier on the battlefield. Right. And be safer while you're doing it and in the will of God while you're doing it. Anyway, I don't mean to get off on that, but I'm just saying there were enlisted men. There were men that went there for the purpose of fight, but they weren't fighting. They were hiding. When the giant came, they were all filled with fear. So there were enlisted men. Number two, there were leaders. There were people in leadership. There's Saul, the king, head and shoulders over everybody else. Biggest man on the battlefield besides Goliath, you would think he would be the one to step up. He's got the armor, he's got the sword, he's got all the things that he would need. He's got the call. He's supposed to be leading his army in the battle. But he's afraid of the giant too. But it's not just him as leader, there's leaders over thousands. David's dad told him, take this to the leader over the 1,000. So there's leaders over the thousands. There are, again, enlisted men supposed to be fighting, but they're not. There are leaders that are supposed to be fighting, but they're not. And then there's innocent bystanders. David was an innocent bystander. He wasn't there to fight. He didn't come prepared to fight. He didn't come equipped to fight. He's just an innocent bystander, and I wonder how many more there are like that. Well, here's what I got to think about. I thought about Island Ford Baptist Church this morning. There are enlisted people here. There's people who are members of the Island Ford Baptist Church. You've signed up. You're supposed to be in the battle. Right? You're part of this church. And so as this church goes forth to battle, you're to go forth with them. Enlisted. That means you're not hiding on Wednesday night, you're in the house of God. That means you're not hiding on Sunday night, you're in the house of God. That means that in the special meetings, you're enlisted, you're a part of the army. Amen. And then there's not just those that are enlisted, and by the way, they want to be here, signed up to be here. Amen. We got a job to do. There's some that have newly enlisted to come alongside the fight. Thank God. By the way, thinking about these soldiers, and I think about it as church members, some have already been through many battles. Some have already shed many tears. And some have celebrated several victories. But it ain't over yet. We're still on the battlefield. And there's still giants out there railing against God and God's people. Enlisted men, then there's leaders in the church. Of course, there's those who have stepped up an additional step of faith. They said, I'll teach a Sunday school. I'll sing special. I'll preach when those that have been called to preach. I'll do the things that need to be done. And matter of fact, of course, we've got this week, we've got folks who signed up for cleaning duties. A lot of cleaning that'll be going on this weekend. All those things, that although that is physical, it has a spiritual part in it. Amen. And we're leaders to be in the fight. But then there's innocent bystanders. There's little children. They didn't sign up for this. They're here because you brought them. Right? They're here because they've obeyed their dad. Dad said, go to the house of God, and they went. Amen. They're here as innocent bystanders, and yet they're a participant in the blessings, and they may be a participant in the battles. Amen. God may call them as he called David. There's the call here that I'm talking about. They just innocent bystanders like David, but they may be called forth into the battle like David was. Second thing I want you to notice is the challenge. Verse number 10 issues the challenge. We read it in our initial text. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. There is a giant on this battlefield when David gets there. And he is challenging anyone that would hear him to come and fight with him. Now here's what's interesting. Everybody heard him. He didn't do this once. He did it twice a day for 40 days. So 80 times now, if this is the last of the 40 days, they have said, he has said, I defy the armies of Israel. Send me out a man to fight. Now, here's what I want you to think about. This is interesting to me. He makes it a game. He is toying with them. He is playing with them. He's got them all scared. Every one of them scared. Even the biggest man in their military. Even the most armored man. Even the most equipped man. You remember the Bible talks about there was a day when the Philistines were in Israel and there's only two swords in all the land of Israel. Saul had one and Jonathan had one and neither one of them is fighting against Goliath. Biggest man on the battlefield besides Goliath scared to death. And here comes that enemy out there, and he's making his boast. And here's what I've got to think about. He's toying with them. War or battles are not games. We're not playing games. When Israel went to fight the Philistines, they didn't go to fight one man. Here's what they didn't. They shouldn't have had just one man stand up and say, I'll fight that one man. Everybody on the Israeli army ought to have been fighting everybody on the Philistine army. That's right. And that's the way in church, if we're not careful, we think this is a one-man war. We'll let the preacher do the fighting. We'll let the Sunday school teacher do the fighting. Everybody on the battlefield ought to be fighting everybody else on the battlefield that's on the opposite side. Amen. But there's a challenge made here. And the challenge, this Goliath said, I'll take on anybody that'll come and take me on. Can I tell you, this church has enemies. Amen. We have enemies. Satan, the world, the flesh, sin is an enemy to the church. Amen. And the enemies are scary. The enemies are powerful. I'm not denying the fact that the enemies are scary and the enemies are powerful. But I'm saying again, it shouldn't just be one man fighting the enemy. It ought to be all of us together. Amen. All of us together ought to be fighting the devil. Amen. And so, again, David stepped up to this fight. Look at verse number 26. David stepped up to the challenge. David said to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now, David's a little boy. He sees that giant. Everybody else sees that giant as a great big giant. David sees him as some filthy heathen that's mocking God. Yeah. Everybody else sees him as somebody to hide from. David sees him as somebody that needs to be taken down. Amen. I'm afraid in our world today, we have got so pacifist in America that we don't recognize enemies need to be taken down. There are some things worth fighting for. And if you're going to fight, it's all out. Right? War is war. War's not a game. You don't say, I won't cross this line if you don't cross this line. Oh no, you wipe them out till they cannot come back. Amen. That's what war is. All right? Amen. I'm not here to try to tell Pete Hegseth how to do it, but that's how it's done. Amen. That's right. David signed up. So we saw the call, we saw the challenge. Number two, there's the conflict in verse number 28. There's a conflict that arose. Look at it, verse 28. And Eliab, the eldest brother, his eldest brother, heard what he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Now, I want you to notice this. David was willing to fight the giant. But Eliab wasn't willing to fight the giant. But Eliab was willing to fight David. If we're not careful in a church, when the devil roars, and by the way, he can roar in a thousand different ways. He don't always have to show himself. He's got champions. But the devil can roar, and here's what he'll do. Instead of getting us to fight against him, he'll get us to fight against each other. Right? He'll get us to fight among ourselves. When we're not fighting him. Amen. I may have told this story here before. Brother Ed Leek told me about, I met him, he was pastor of the Colonial Baptist Church in Charlottesville, Virginia. They had a good sized printing ministry. I met him through that printing ministry is how I met him. Really through my dad, but got to know him through the printing ministry. And he was telling about how when his church got involved in the printing ministry, he said that his church was like a bunch of hound dogs before they got in that ministry. He said they were like hound dogs in a box on the back of a pickup truck. Y'all know how that, we've all seen that. Y'all familiar with that? He said they're like hound dogs in a box on the back of a pickup truck. And he said they're barking at one another. They're growling at each other. They're snapping at each other. They're even gnawing on each other. He said until we got a purpose. He said, when God put us on the trail of printing, he said, it's like you had dropped the tailgate of that pickup truck, opened that box, and them dogs was on the trail. They're not barking at one another. They're barking with each other. Right? They're going, running with each other. They got a purpose now. I'm telling you, we need that in our life. Amen. We need that in our life today. There's young men, they need to know, I mean, why should I get up and go to work in the morning? Well, you ought to have a purpose for that. Amen. Not just that you have to do it. You ought to have a purpose. You ought to think, praise God, I get to prepare for a family down the road. Amen. I get to do something for the glory of God. That's what God made you for, by the way. God made Adam to work. That wasn't a curse. No. Amen. Anyway, I'm going to get off of it. So there's the conflict. Eliab says, I'll fight against David rather than fighting against Goliath. I remember Brother Billy Parsons said years ago, wonder if David had fought his brother that day, who would have fought Goliath? And it's sad to say a lot of churches are fighting among themselves rather than fighting an enemy. The enemy that we ought to be fighting. Amen. I realize problems arise in the church that must be dealt with. We don't like to, but we have to at times. But we ought not be fighting about everything. Amen. So there's the conflict. Number four, there's the contest. Here we go between the two. Verse number 40. The contest. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him four or five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. David was not going to back down. He didn't back down to his brother. He didn't back down to Saul when Saul said, "You're just a stripling. There ain't no way you can do this." David wasn't backing down. David said, "There's a giant out there. He's a big man with a big mouth. And I got a big God that needs to shut his mouth." Amen. And David went out to fight against the enemy. Amen. He didn't fight his brother, and he didn't fight with Saul, but he stood up and he went along like he ought to go. Now, here's a sideline. You remember Saul said, "Put on my armor. You can take my armor." David tried it on. Of course, being a boy, it didn't fit him. He said, "I can't do this. I've not proved it." This is a thought I got. There's several thoughts in there. One, Saul probably wanted, if David's out in that valley fighting that giant, and all these people is up on the side, and somebody saying, "Who is that? I don't know. It looks like Saul's armor to me." Sort of gives credit to Saul when Saul didn't deserve credit. That may be why he wanted to give him his armor. I don't know. Maybe he thought he needed that armor. I mean, he's going in the name of the Lord, but maybe he needs something more. That's not faith. But here's what I really noticed. David's going to fight that giant, but he is not going to fight him in armor that doesn't belong to him. There's a lot of people trying to do something that they're not, can I say, they don't, that office don't fit them. They're not qualified for that position. Not that they, I mean, David's a better soldier than Saul, but the armor didn't fit him. You see what I'm saying? And so my point is, everybody can't sing. Everybody can't pastor. Everybody can't do certain things, but we can find what we can do, and let's do what we can do to be in the battle for the glory of God. Amen. So look at verse number 45. David doesn't go in his own strength. He goes in the strength of the Lord. Verse 45, "Then said David to the Philistine, 'Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.'" Amen. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Amen. David's not standing in his own strength. He's standing in the strength of the Lord. Amen. Here's what I got thinking about. When we go knock on doors and invite people to church, hand out tracts, whatever, this community needs to know that there's a church in this community that's preaching the truth. They need to know that there's a church in this community that's interested in them, not just in their dollar, in their soul. Amen. They need to know that there's a church. But more than that, they need to know there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven that loved them enough that he's willing to save them. There's a God in heaven that loved them enough that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. That they could be, they need to know about the God in heaven. We got a radio station. Thank God we do. This community needs to know that. We've been going. When 2 weeks ago we went down and was in that meeting and that conference down in Cooperstown to spread the word. Yesterday we were in Indianapolis in a conference there, just a one-day conference. We were there spreading the word about the radio. We've got the prayer cards made with the QR codes and telling people, tune in, listen, and all that kind of stuff. People need to know about a radio that's conservative, a radio that's King James only, a radio that's doing their best to send out the light and the truth. They need to know that. But more importantly, they need to know there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. Now, David didn't say, "Now, when this day's done, they're going to know there is a boy with a real sling in his hand." David wasn't emboldening himself and bragging on himself and embellishing his own ability. David's bragging on the Lord. And he said, when all this is done, they're going to say that had to be God. Amen. Can I tell you, I don't care how long our church has been here, how big we grow, what wonderful things we see, how strong we stay with the truth. If a sinner ever gets saved, it's going to take God to do it. And God ought to get all the glory. Amen. He ought to get all the glory. And we could talk about the radio the same way. So I'm simply saying there's a contest going on, and this world needs to know that there is a God in heaven. Amen. Now, number five, this is my last point before conclusion. Number five, there's the conquest. There's victory that comes. Look at verse number 49. Verse 49. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it. I might have told you this some time ago. I wrote in the margin of my Bible, when it's all right to use slang. Mama used to say, don't use them slang words. Grandma would fuss at me. That slang, don't be using that. David slang that stone, praise God. David slang it. Let me find it. And smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. My point is, God gave the victory. Amen. God got the glory, and God gave the victory. Amen. Amen. Now, notice verse 49 says David put his hand in his bag. Back in verse number 40, he tells us that he put these five smooth stones in that bag. Now, here's what I want you to notice, and I'll get towards my conclusion here. David could only pull out of that bag what he had previously put into that bag. That's why it's important to read your Bible every day. Put some good stones in your bag. That's why it's important to go to church every time you get an opportunity. Listen to the preaching when you hear it. Why? Putting good stones in your bag so you can fight the enemy down the road. You may not be on the battlefield yet, but you may be getting close to it. Maybe closer than you think. And so it'd be good for you to put some good stones in your bag. Amen. You'll have something to sling at the enemy when he comes. It's important for us to religiously educate our children. Church covenants. Back in the mountains of North Carolina, almost every church had a church covenant on the wall. In North Carolina, I would read it, and I'd have the people agree to it when they joined the church. And that church covenant, one of the things it says that we covenant together, we promise, commit to, and that's the phrase, religiously educate our children. That doesn't mean put them in Christian school. That means I'm going to teach them. I'm going to teach them about God. I'm going to tell them about God. I'm going to show them God. I'm going to demonstrate God to my children. Amen. And it is important that we do that. Did you know you can homeschool your children and still not religiously educate them? You can put them in Christian school and still not religiously educate them. Right. We got to have God in our home. Amen. We need God in our home. Amen. Notice also in this text that these soldiers that had been trembling in fear before are now rising up with victory. They're rising up with energy. They're rising up with purpose. They've got a cause now to go and fight the rest of the Philistines. This is what I like about David. David goes out there, that giant says, he says, I'm going to take your head off of you. I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls. David said, no, you're not. He said, God's going to give me the victory, but not just you. He said, all the hosts of the Philistines. And all that army of Israel, I'm sure they heard that. When they saw, the Bible said, when they saw that the champion had fallen, then they all, and they saw that the Philistines had fled, then they rose up in one accord and went and fought. Amen. Can I tell you, you can encourage others to do something for God if you'll just do a little something for God. You don't have to be big, be a little stone. Might not be a giant that you're facing, might be a little thing, but if you'll do something for God, you can encourage and influence others to do something for God. Amen. Amen. So, I'm thinking about this story of David on my conclusion. This is my conclusion, that same question. Do you have a cause? David had a cause. He said back in verse number 29, is there not a cause? David loved his God too much to let some uncircumcised Philistine rail against his God. Do you love God enough to make a difference in this world? Well, I'm going to heaven. Yeah. Yeah. But you're supposed to be representing Christ while you're here. It's not just my ticket to heaven. Salvation. By the way, that baptism is you being placed. It's you're under the water. You're showing yourself in Christ. I'm dying with Him. I'm rising with Him. I'm living for Him. That's what that baptism is to represent. Amen. So many people today don't seem to have a purpose in life. A cause. I'm going to ask you, and I think you ought to search and find out, do you have a cause to be right here in this church? Is there a purpose for you to be here? Some people feel like, well, I don't have a purpose there. You should. God's got a purpose for you. You say, well, I didn't necessarily enlist. I'm just an innocent bystander. That's exactly what David was. And even being an innocent bystander, being an unenlisted fighter, David still had a cause. Had a purpose for being there. We ought to do the same. Amen. Now, well, think about this thing about David. This was not David's first battle. You know, we'd never known about the lion and the bear. We'd have never known about that. If Saul hadn't have said to David, you can't go fight this giant. He's a champion from his youth and you're just a little lad of a boy. You're just a stripling of a lad. And David said to him, there was a lion came out against the flock as I was tending my father's flock. I grabbed that lion by the beard. By the way, that's a pretty bold man. Right. Grabbed that lion by the beard and slew him, he said. He said, there's a bear came out to take one of the flock. He said, I went out against that bear and I slew him. My point is, this wasn't David's first battle and it wasn't David's last battle. It's probably his most famous, but it wasn't the first, it wasn't the last. There's some of us, you've fought a lot of battles, but it ain't time to hang the sling up. It ain't time to lay the sword down. Still got breath in your lungs? Is there still a giant on the battlefield? Do you have a cause? You're not, maybe, I'm gonna say this to some of us are not raising children now. We've done that. We're not raising children, but we still got a cause. There's grandchildren. There's other children. There's other individuals, neighbors. I'm just simply saying there's a cause for us to do something for God. Don't quit. Keep fighting the enemy. Amen. Keep fighting the enemy. If you're here today and you're lost, can I tell you, you don't stand a chance against the enemy. You have to turn to Jesus. It's the only hope you got. But if you're in the Lord's army, you ought to have a reason to stand for Him. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. As they come with a song, do you have a cause? Is there a purpose for you to get up in the morning? Is there a purpose for you to go to church? Is there a purpose for you to live? Is there a purpose for God to leave you here? Is there a purpose for God to extend your life? Is there a reason? Do you have a cause? Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God as we've tried to preach it this morning. Thank you for the thoughts you gave us, the reminders of those. Thank you for this story of David. Wonderful, wonderful story of David and Goliath. Thank you. Lord, I pray help us that we would have a cause ourselves. We wouldn't wait on somebody else to be a champion to go against the giant, but we'd be willing to fight the Philistines we can for the glory of God. Lord, I pray move on the heart of those that are unsaved as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.